We've been having a series on prayer, and we're just planning a fellowship weekend, the end of March, beginning of April, on stayed mind and the peace of God. So I thought I'd have a little segue here where we'll talk about prayer and peace. And by the way, this will probably be the last teaching in our series on prayer, and then I'm going to start another series on the abundance of God, talking about how God in every single area of life provides abundantly. Whatever area of life it is, you might have a concern or a need, God is there and God can provide not only what you need, but much more. So we'll go into the abundance of God starting next time. But today we'll wrap up our series of many weeks on prayer and be a bit of a segue into our class on stayed mind and the peace of God, which we'll have at our fellowship weekend in about 6 weeks. And several of the verses, because of other things they cover, we will have already talked about in this series on prayer. Some of them we haven't. So let's get started here. Let's start in Psalm 37 and verse 7. In the past, some people have accused me of teaching on the peace of God, and that being the main theme of my teachings, and that may be true. Because to me, the peace of God is very important, because when you have peace in your heart, at least to me, it's an indication that I have turned my concerns over to God and I'm trusting Him to take care of me, so I'm really not worried about what may happen in the circumstances around me, because I know God will come through. And on days when I don't have peace, that's usually an indication that I've gotten too focused on the circumstances or the people or the other issues, and I'm not simply not trusting God to take care of me. So to me, it's a little bit of a barometer for my life, and perhaps that's why it's such an important topic to me. So here in Psalm 37 and verse 7, we read, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Just wait patiently for Him. Wait with expectation. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, those that look to him with expectation, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." See, people that are meek enough to listen to God and trust God, they'll be delighted with an abundance of peace. Their lives will just be filled with peace because they'll know God is there to take care of them. They'll be able to trust God in every situation, and they'll have great peace. And that's a big part of our prayer lives, is so turning things over to God, so being meek to listen to Him, that we have great peace. Later on in Psalm 37, in verse 34, "Wait on the Lord." Again, that's the word that means to wait with expectation. Expect Him to help you. "And keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." You'll see the wicked cut off, but you won't be cut off. Verse 35, "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, behold, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." Now look at this, verse 37. "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." What a great thing. "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them." Why? Because they trust in Him. They prayed, they believed, they trusted that God would take care of them, so the Lord will deliver them. So, that's interesting, verse 7. "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." And that's where we want to be. We want to so pray. We want to so turn our concerns over to God. We often say, lift them up to God and ask for His help, that we just have great peace because we know He's going to come through for us. He's never let us down, and He never will. Psalm 119, verse 165. Psalm 119 And this tremendous, tremendous long psalm that in every verse mentions the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When we get to that place where we truly love God's Word, absolutely nothing can offend us. Nothing can offend us. Because what's going to offend you? What's going to upset you? You know God's going to be there to take care of you. So what can I do? What can somebody else say? What can happen in the circumstances that's going to offend you? Because you know that God will be there to take care of you. What does it matter? You know, just think of, you know, you're walking down the street and a dog barks at you. Or some four-year-old kid says something rude. Are you really going to let that ruin your day? You figure, it's a four-year-old kid. What do they know? Well, everything in the world compared to God is like a four-year-old kid or a dog barking or a cat hissing. It doesn't matter because God is greater. And that's why great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So that's why we always go to God and realize when we love him and his word, just nothing's going to affect us. Proverbs 3. Here we go. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So when we have God's commandments, God's word in our lives, they're going to add length of days, they're going to add long life, and they're going to add peace. What a great thing. Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So God's commandments add peace. We don't have to lean to our own understanding, which is a good thing. We trust in him, and he'll direct our paths. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it. You know, the value of it, the value of wisdom and understanding is better than the merchandise of silver. And silver is worth a lot. And the gain thereof. What you can get, what you can benefit from having wisdom and understanding is greater than the gain thereof than fine gold. You can get a lot with gold and silver, but you can get more in your life with the wisdom and understanding of God. What a great thing. What wonderful stuff. And in Isaiah chapter 26, one of our fundamental sort of go-to verses for the peace of God is here in Isaiah 26, verse 3. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Notice the on thee is in italics. It's not in the original text. And that word stayed could be translated steadfast. So great peace have they. Again here, Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is steadfast, because he trusteth in thee. So when our minds are steadfast, trusting in God, praying with expectation, God will keep us in perfect peace. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isn't that amazing? We'll have great perfect peace when our mind is stayed on God. Wonderful stuff. Let's go to Isaiah 32. And by the way, that's the only way you're going to get perfect peace. There are all kinds of things you can do with meditation and this, and that can be helpful just to settle down your mind and focus on something in nature. And that's nice, and that's helpful, and that helps a lot of people. I have nothing against it. But the thing is, all the things in just regular meditation without the Word of God, everything you might focus on is limited. It isn't reliable. It doesn't have the track record that God has. Whereas when we focus on God and keep our mind stayed on him, now we're focusing on something absolutely reliable that will absolutely not let us down. Here in Isaiah 32, verse 17. Here we are, Isaiah 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. That's what righteousness accomplishes. And we are righteous before God, not because of our perfect works, but because of the perfect works of Jesus Christ. Being righteous, being right before God, so that there is no sense of any inferiority or sin or problem between us and God, that is as a result of the work of Jesus Christ. And what righteousness works in our life, what it accomplishes, is peace. And the effect of righteousness, same thing, quietness and assurance forever. See, if we look at things in the world and focus on them, they're always changing, and we're always going to be off base and a little off kilter because we start to rely on something in the world, and then it changes. It lets us down. It's not trustworthy. But when our focus is on God and His Word, and God is so trustworthy and so reliable, then we have quietness and assurance forever. So let's look at that one again here. In Isaiah 32, verse 17, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. So that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be at peace. He wants us to be quiet in our hearts, and He wants us to always have assurance forever. Isaiah 48, verse 18. I'm looking forward to our weekend, beginning of April, because this is sort of like a little introduction to that weekend. We will probably review these verses, but then there's many, many more about the stayed mind and the peace of God, and it'll be a wonderful time to read these comforting scriptures. Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. I just wish you'd listen to me. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Of course, this is a period where God's people, the Israelites, did not listen to God. But He said, I wish you had listened to me, because then you would have had peace like a river and your righteousness like waves of the sea. And we all go through times where we don't listen to God and we don't have the peace. But then we just, rather than get all condemned and beat ourselves up, we just got to say, oops, thank you for forgiving me, Father, and move back to focusing on God. And then you'll have that peace like a river, just like just flows along. John 14. Here's Jesus Christ towards the end of His ministry, talking to His followers, and here in John 14. John 14. Hey, somebody's talking in the background. Please try to be quiet. We can hear you. You didn't mute your phone. John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now look what He says, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it not be afraid. So there is a kind of peace you can find in the world. There are all kinds of people that are self-help gurus and yoga teachers and meditation experts, and they will help you get a level of peace. And that's good. I have nothing against that. It's just never as great as it is trusting in the true God. So, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ is saying here. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace, the peace of God I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. There's greater peace available from God than you're going to get from everything else in the world. So we need to focus ultimately on God being our strength, our sufficiency, our source of supply, our help and our comfort in all of life. That's when we're going to have great peace. And here, okay, then we go to Romans 5. Tremendous verse. I remember vividly the day in high school I read this verse. It shocked me. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified or made righteous by faith or believing, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. Absolutely, we have it, because Jesus Christ completely paid for our sins. God is not sitting there with a whip trying to somehow attack us or beat us up or remind us of our sins. He's there to love us because we have been justified by simply believing in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. So there's no problem with your relationship between you and God. Now it's just a matter of how to get that peace in your heart so you can experience it every day. And there are many things like that in the scripture, where because of the new birth, God's given us many, many things. But to have them become evident in our lives so we experience them, that takes focusing on God's word. Picture somebody that maybe has a great skill, maybe a natural talent to play tennis, for instance. They just somehow, the genes and the physical abilities and the coordination is just there. And I've met people like that who just are such natural athletes, they can just, with almost no training, play very well. Well, picture this person that has this great skill, but they still have to go use it. They can't just sit around on the couch and talk about what great tennis players they are. They've still got to go out there and actually play. And as they play and use those skills, then they start to win matches and tournaments. Well, it's as many things in the new birth are like that. Jesus Christ has paid for them. We have them. But we have to actually put the Word of God on in our minds. We have to actually pray. We have to actually be aware that God has done this for us and then go live it and enjoy it. Otherwise, we don't get the benefits of it. So, we've got all that. We have peace with God. Now we have to get that peace in our hearts. How do we do that? Well, let's start with Romans 15. A few great keys here we'll look at. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So joy and peace in believing. We've got to believe God's word. We've got to believe that we have that peace. We've got to believe that God gives us joy. That's how we're going to do it. Now let's look at it again, verse 13. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Then let's go to Romans 8, verse 6. Romans 8. Another great one here. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded, to have the thoughts of the five senses, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So to have the thoughts of the five senses world and only focus on the five senses world is death. But to be spiritually minded, to have the thoughts of the scriptures of God's word, that is life and peace. Great stuff. So we want to think spiritually. Now here's another fundamental verse, Philippians 4:6, that will tie peace and prayer together. Again, a very familiar one. Years ago, he said, when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4:6. And I still believe that. Very fundamental verse to life here. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful or anxious, worried for what? Nothing. And that's a great key, because we all have areas of life that we think are such a big deal to us that we should be worried about them. We should be anxious. We should be upset. We should be panicked. Everybody we should talk to, we should tell them how upset we are and how worried we are and how bad it is. Well, it says here, be anxious for what? Nothing. Well, what do we do instead? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, which is specific requests to God, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So be anxious, worried, nervous, freaked out, stressed out for nothing. But instead, in everything, by prayer and making specific requests with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's going to happen? The peace of God, which passes all understanding, way deeper than we could explain, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So rather than get worried about stuff, we simply pray. And as we do that, with thanksgiving, the peace of God guards your hearts and minds. It's like it builds a little garrison, a little fort, a little protective wall around your heart so that no harm can get in. You can still reach out to help others, but no harm can get in. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So it's okay to think of the positive things. I know there are people in the world that will tell you that if you ignore problems in the world, then you're just got your head in the clouds. Well, you know, there are always problems in the world. What did Jesus Christ say? There will always be wars and rumors of wars, and the poor you will always have with you. It's great to do what we can to avoid wars, and it's great what we can do to help the poor. But there will still be wars, and there will still be poor people, and there will still be problems in the world. So do whatever God leads you to do to help in those areas, but other than that, focus on the great positive truths of God's Word. And because that's what we're supposed to think about. So if you walk around and just think about positive things and think about God's blessings in your life, that's what you should be doing. Other problems come up, do what you can to deal with them, but don't let them dominate your life. You know, it's sort of like you get a flat tire. Well, you got to fix it. You got to take it off and change it yourself, or you got to call AAA, or you got to go to the garage, or you got to do something. You got to fix the tire. But then, are you going to spend the whole next 6 months worried about that tire? No, you fix the tire and you keep driving. That's the way things are in life. Do what you have to do to address stuff, but keep your thoughts focused on the things of God. Verse 9, those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, there are a couple of translations of verses 6 and 7 we like to read from time to time, and I'll read them to you now. Here's verses 6 and 7 from J.B. Phillips. Don't worry over anything whatever. Tell God every detail of your needs in earnest and thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. And then the same two verses in the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So there we have prayer and peace coming together. As we pray, we'll get peace. If we don't have peace, we need to pray more. If we have great peace, keep praying so you keep that peace. It's a matter of prayer, focusing on God, and then experiencing peace. And along the way, be thankful. And one verse here to close, Colossians 3. And then we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks. Colossians 3 and verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let it be the umpire, decide, determine, direct, control the thoughts in your mind. When you're trying to decide things, let the peace of God be a huge deciding factor. Quite often people make decisions based on money or being popular in the community or something else. And there's nothing wrong. Those are parts of life. But let the peace of God be the ultimate arbiter in your life. Let that be the thing that rules in your hearts. So again, Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye what? Thankful. Be thankful. Train yourself to be thankful. The minute you hear yourself griping about everything and everybody, stop and say, wait a minute, that is a legitimate problem, but look at all God has done for me, and stop and remember that and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, even the Father, by Him. So we let the peace of God rule in your hearts. So let's have a great week. Let's try to discipline ourselves that when our minds start to panic a little bit or get worried or flustered, we just turn things over to God. We just say, God, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to get upset about it. I ask your help. I ask you specifically to help with these things, and I'm very thankful for everything you've already done for me. And then just watch the peace of God flood over your heart and be the thing that rules in your hearts. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. Thank you for their loved ones. Thank you for everything about their lives, their health, their strength, their abundance, their livelihoods, their families, their everything in their lives. May you bless them abundantly, and may we have a great week praying, looking to you, and being very peaceful in all we do. Thank you for this and your wonderful love. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.